Okay, we're going to also answer this week the question that we raised by Shaul Shudis last Shabbos about Loit. We'll just go through the haskalah of this parsha. Pasuk starts off Avraham Avinu after the bris. The Rebbeinu Shem took out the son min al-tika. The Rebbeinu Shem took out the son, and the reason for that was that no guest should come. So Rebbeinu Shem tried to get that no guest should come. Meanwhile, he sees Avraham is mitzdaya. Avraham wants guests, and Avraham is sitting outside kechoy mayoyim. I think it's very similar to what I told the Talmidim this week in the yeshiva. I was talking to them about Nosson Tzvi. I was talking about the loss of the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, which we had this week. I don't know how many of you knew him personally, but he was, I told the boys, he was more like a malach than a person, just to watch him. To watch him for 2 minutes. I told the boys, you can't imagine being in his body for 60 seconds. He couldn't sit for the Parkinson's was so excessive. You know, different forms of Parkinson's, and some people take medication for it. It was he couldn't keep his body in one place for a second, and he would give shmuzin. He raised money for he kept the yeshiva going. A malach. So I was talking to the boys a little bit about what he was. So I said, you know, something happened with his great uncle, Rabbi Eliezer Yudel. Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Altamir Rosh Yeshiva, a couple of times ago, Rabbi Eliezer Yudel. The day that he got a massive heart attack, Rabbi Eliezer Yudel, the doctors told him he has, that's it, he's going. There's nothing they could do for him. There was so much damage to the heart that they said there's nothing. They couldn't operate, nothing. They told him he's... So another senior Rosh Yeshiva came to visit him, Blazer Yudel. In the middle of the conversation, Blazer Yudel says, you know, it's hard for him to talk. He's whispering. He says, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut now the visit because I still didn't do my quota of learning for today. He says, I still have to learn 7 blat today, Gemara, and I have to learn another 10 parkim Rambam. Because that was his daily routine. 7 blot. This is the day that he had a massive heart attack. The doctors told him that he has a day or two. He's nothing they could do for him. He lived for another 2 years. Came back to yeshiva, gave shiurim. But he said, you know, that's my... So I told the boy, so that the Rosh Yeshiva that was there, turned to Blazer Yudel. He says, Blazer Yudel. He says, did you get reshus from the doctor to learn the Rambam today? I mean, to learn 7 blot Gemara and 10 blot. He says, I got the reshus from the Gadol of all generations, one of the biggest Gedolei Hador, and from the greatest doctors, the Rambam. The Rambam Zechir given a doctor. He says, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says, Chayiv Odom b'Talmud Torah, Bein Er, Bein Yoshem, all the Chiyutim, Bein Zokin, Bein Chayla, Bein Bal Yisun. The Rambam includes my state. He still says, Yechayiv. So I got reshus from the Gadol Hador and from the doctor, so I'm okay, I'm clear. But I asked the boys, but why? You know, why taka would the Rambam say that if you're very ill, that you don't take that into account and say, you know, you're potter from Talmud Torah? Normally we say, you're potter. So it's true, Rav Eliezer Yudel had a Rambam. But now we could ask a kasha on a Rambam. What's the kapshan on a Rambam? The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah shuts the door, closed, on any possible ptur from Talmud Torah. Why is that? So I told the Talmidim, you know, in the secular world they had a loss, and it's a loss. It's a loss for everybody. For Yidden too, it's a loss. A tremendous creative mind, an inventor. I call him the Baal HaTapuach, right? The Baal HaTapuach. Of course, it's a different kind of loss. Steve Jobs, La Havdol of Havdolos. A godel in the field of technology. of invention. But it's also a loss. But one of the most amazing things they say about this man, besides that he was able to give you so many nigunim in a chut asara, right? Unbelievable. But they say that even when he was so ill, he had pancreatic cancer, he had the liver, I mean, he's still busy inventing. Constantly inventing. They were saying stories about him. His mind was just... So I say, would anybody say, you know, Steve, you're very sick, stop inventing. Meshuggah? You stop the man from inventing, he'll die sooner. It's his life, is to invent. That's who he is. That defines him. You pull it out, it's like you take the plug out of him. Keep on inventing. There's no question, a man like that, Bederech HaTeva could get life from inventing. The Pshat is, that's what the Rambam is telling us. Torah has to become so much a part of you, where it's not a liability. It's just the opposite. It's an energizer. Gives you life. The Blaise Yudelis questioned, he had a massive heart attack because he learned his 10 block Gemara. He was like, what do you mean? You want to take that away from me too? I shouldn't eat either because I had a heart attack. Shouldn't sleep. This is my life. Can't take that away. And that's what he meant. That was what the Rambam meant. So Avraham Avinu, he was Achnos, this is Achnos Ochem was his thing. I just want to end off by telling you, I didn't have a relationship with him, Nelson Tzvi, personal. It wasn't Zeichem when I was a Bach in Eretz Yisrael. He was then a young man. When I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, he was an unknown. He was my age when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael. He's a whole of 69 years old today. So I was busy with this Canaan. He was a young man. Then I never really got to know him much. When I took the boys in the yeshiva 15 years ago to Tvelia, we went to Eretz Yisrael for the summer. And then they made an overnight in Tvelia. The boys slept by the Kinneret. So Rabbi Brody went with the boys to sleep outside. And I'm not from the big outdoors, man, especially to sleep on in the beach. It wasn't my cup of tea. So I went to the hotel there, the Ariston or whatever it's called, the Hamish Hotel there. It's not a fancy, it's very, very, what's it called? No, it's not Asian. No, it's called Ariston, I think, right? Ariston. Very Hamish. I mean, you're talking about no stars. I call it Ben Ashmoshes. No stars. Very nice, Hamish, Varam. Like the Merkaz used to be in Shalayim. Very Hamish a place. Over there, I met Reb Nelson Tzvi. I was Zoicha that night that I was there. He was there. He was on vacation. And I didn't know who he was. I went into the Beis Medrash. And I didn't have to skip the concert or anything. There was no entertainment. I just went to the Beis Medrash. I come into the Beis Medrash. I see a Yid that looks, then he looked maybe he was 85 years old. Then he was severely ill from this disease. I see this Yid, He can't hold on to a chair and he's absorbed in learning. I was just spoiled from him. So I went over to him and asked him Akasha. He gave me this huge hug. He pulled me down to give me a hug and it was hard for him to pull me down. He pulled me down, gave me this huge hug and kiss. Akasha. And the next morning I saw him by breakfast or whatever you want to call what they gave out in the morning. And he said, he saw me, he says, Yechanishki ken shlofen from Akasha. Can you imagine? From his disease, he could sleep. But the kasha. So as he left, I asked him who he is. Just I figured, a chasher yid. He said, my name is Nassim Tzvi Finkel. I didn't even put two and two together. I said, where are you from? He said, I live in Yerushalayim. That was my experience of Nassim Tzvi. That explains the kind of person that he was. That's how he loved Talmidim. The way he was with Talmidim. That explains the superhuman person that we saw. That's what it was. When he came to speak in the yeshiva by us, it must have also been about shortly thereafter, you know, maybe 12 years ago, came to speak in the yeshiva. It must have taken him 15 minutes to get from the circle in front of the yeshiva to speak. That's all. And then he spoke with all his kids. Then he went from us, he went to Rabbi Walmart to speak over there in the yeshiva afterwards. Remember. Just a man who just lived. With him, you don't need a muscle safe. You look at him, that's more Musa than you can get in years of learning Musa. Just look at the person. But Al Kaponim, that was Avram. Avram's life was Chesed. So the Yevishter Taka took put the son out so he shouldn't get guests. But Lamais Avram wasn't helping Avram. He wasn't relaxing. He was busy looking for guests. So the Yevishter sent him malachim. Sent him three malachim. So the obvious question is that Avram Avinu was always a machnas erech. All the years. It's not new. Right? Nothing new now. Why all of a sudden here we learn out the halachas of achnasas ochim from here? Avraham Avinu was always a machnas erech. And what's fascinating is that this wasn't even achnasas ochim. Because in retrospect, now that we know that they were malachim, there's no mitzvah of achnasas ochim by malachim. So the irony of it all is that we learn out achnasas ochim from here, and it wasn't even achnasas ochim. He thought it was achnasas ochim. But actually wasn't. They weren't even really eating, like Chazal say. It wasn't even real. It was a facade. It looked like achnas asoch. We never find up until this point that Avram, that Malachim came into Avram Avinu's tent as human beings. We know last week's parsha, we learned achari, that there were Malachim all over Avram Avinu's tent. We'll learn about it in this week's parsha. But Malachim coming as people to Avram's tent, that never happened. Only here. So A, why is this the time, dafka here, that Avraham is zoiche to have Malachim come into his house as guests? And why did the Abish to send Malachim to Avraham Avinu? What was the message to Avraham Avinu? And then we find that Avraham tells Sarah to make kamach. Avraham tells Vorecha pas lechem, he tells Mari, shloisim kamach selos. Sarah goes the extra mile. And Sarah goes ahead and she makes shaylas. She makes finer flour. So she has generosity to give extra for the guests. And Chazal come and they tell us, Mikan she'isha tzora ba'ochim. From here we see that a woman is cheap. What do you mean? Tzora ba'ochim? Just the opposite. The Gemara even says, Avram said, Kemach. Sarah Silas. From here you see that a woman is cheap. She was more generous. And actually, it's usually that way. If you think about guests coming to the house, who wants to go further? The husband or the wife? Mavada, the wife. The wife is spitz covered. I once heard from a comedian, Mishta Hemishel. He said that he wishes he was a guest. He says he wishes he didn't marry his wife. He was a guest by her. He says his whole life he's hearing from his wife how everything is for the guest. Don't touch that, it's for the guest. Don't do this. The bed is for the guest. Everything's for the guest. He says, I wish I didn't marry my wife. Or if somebody else married my wife, I would have come out as a guest. Women are generally not sore b'och. They're not cheap with the guests. And Taka Sora fit the bill. She wasn't so cheap with the guests. Adagad. She wanted to give souls. So why does the Gemara say that she's cheap with the guests? So here's a pshekel, they say, that there are different ways to keep guests out of the house. One is, you say, I don't want any guests. The other is, you say, you want guests? Okay, if we're going to have guests, Shabbos is going to cost $2,000. I don't make a $300 Shabbos for guests. That's false, we could have a $300 Shabbos. If we're going to have guests, it's going to be a $2,000 Shabbos. So Hashem says, okay, no guests. So the way to be tzor ba'ochim is to overdo it. You overdo it, the person says, forget it, I'm not interested. It's a pshetl. That could be what it means. Avram says, kemach. So went ahead and she gave the extra that way, Avram, to discourage Avram. It's an unacceptable reality pshat. It's a cute chap. But it's not a reality pshat. We know that tzor was a tremendous machnas tzorach. So what does it mean? What's the taich? It's clear to me without doubt that Chazal are giving Sarah a little musar here. They're giving her a little musar. Now we go to Stoyim. This week's parasha we learn about the destruction of Stoyim. And Loit is saved from Stoyim. So Chazal discuss why was Loit saved from Stoyim. What's chus did he have?
So we know one Chazal says he didn't have a schus. He was nitzel the schus of Avraham Avinu. But then we have Rashi. Rashi tells us in this parsha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Avraham and he took Loit out of the Mapecha, and it says as follows. It says that what's chus? Vayizkor lekimas Avraham mas chirosay shel Avraham aloit. Why does the Torah say Vayizkor Hashem as Avraham and he saved Loit? So one pshat is chus of Avraham. The other pshat is no. Loit had a chus. What's chus? Nizkas chusay shel Loit sheyedea shesoro ishtei shel Avraham. Loit knew that Sarah was the wife of Avraham Avinu. V'shama shama Avraham b'Mitzrayim asara achoisi. For they gilo adobo, and he didn't let them know. He didn't let Paroi know, or anybody in Mitzrayim know the truth. So because he didn't rat out Avraham Avinu, he had a schus. And that's why he was saved. Azay Zakhtar Hashi. The obvious question, which I think is boiled, is that the Rebbeinu Shem is coming to save Loit. Loit, this night that he was saved, he took guests into his house. He took the Malachim into his house. The Stomites, they were ready to kill him. Kill him, kill the guests. He was Moisei Nefesh to bring these guests into his home. Why does the Eibishter have to go back now 24 years to find a schus for Loit? 24 years ago, Loit didn't rat out Avraham Avinu. Just say, last night he took guests into his home. Moisei Nefesh. It's very strange that the schus that the Eibishter has to find has to go all the way 24 years to something which doesn't seem that significant. So Loit didn't rat out on Avraham Avinu. Okay, isn't this the biggest chutz, the fact that last night he brought these guests into his home? What's a pshat in that? So I think my boy said a pshat is like this. We asked the Kashim last week, how is it that Loit stayed in Stoim? If you think about it, Stoim was such a fakhumta place. It's not so hard to understand Stoim, because we live close enough to World War II, and we live close enough to the communist Russia, to understand that you can have an ideology where ideologically you hold that none of the wealth of your country should go anywhere, and that you are better than everybody else. And your blood is better. We've seen such destructive behavior. So that's what Stoim was. Stoim had an ideology that Stoim is for Stoim. They used to say that in Russia, right? Russia's for Russia. Right? Stoim is for Stoim. Nobody out there is entitled to have anything from Stoim. And Stoim was blessed as far as produce, productivity. The Medrash tells us there was nothing that Stoim needed from the outside world. It's like the people in Brooklyn say. In Brooklyn, you have everything. I had somebody a couple of weeks ago, he says, how can you lose the Muncie? I mean, the Muncie, you always have to go to Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, you have everything there. Yeah. So Lamaisa, the Duntus Teshuva, Stoim had everything there. I don't mean to make a connection. Yeah. Stoim in Brooklyn. They had everything there. Everything was Nimsa over there. So they felt they're better. They felt they had arrogance, they're better, they don't need people. They made a complete wall between them and the outside world. And Loit suffered the loss of his own daughter to their brutal behavior. So if you were Loit, you wouldn't run away. If you were Loit, your daughter gets brutally murdered, right? Tortured to death by these monsters. And you stay there. There's a palanif on Loit. He stays. What's a pshat? So the pshat of Abaisa is simple, and this will tie the whole thing together. The
the mitzvah of achnosas ochim, if you go to the source of achnosas ochim, is the opposite of the ideology of stoim. The ideology of stoim is everything. Stoim is for stoim. Shali shali. Shali shali v'shaloch shaloch. The Mishnah says in Perkei Avos zumi the stoim according to the Yeshayim. Stoim had an ideology of kfir. They didn't believe anything is God-given. They didn't believe that all men are Salme Elohim. Their kilkul wasn't just Ben Adam Machaveh. Their kilkul was Ben Adam Lamokah. Stein. Klal Yisrael, we believe Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. The Maral says even Goyim. It says Chaviv Adam, the Tana says. Besides for Yisrael. Chaviv in Yisrael, Yisrael is a new Adregen. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, we believe. We believe that whatever possessions we have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Has to be shared. It has to be shared with others. So the Stoim ideology is Shali Shali. That's the Stoim ideology. Achnosas Ochim is the opposite. Sora Imenu unquestionably was a Balas Achnosas Ochim. Unquestionably. Chazal don't have a shail about that. Chazal are just telling us that a woman has to meet the challenge of knowing that the money that's in the home is not her money either. So her achnasas ochim is her husband as well. And therefore, if the husband said to give kemach and you give solas, it means there's some lack of reality check of what's yours. You feel like it's mine. Avram only, the halachas aim a kabbalim stoker min anoshim, you're not allowed to accept a large amount of stoker from women because it's gzeil. You're not allowed to do that. I've heard from some mishulachim, they say they like to go during the day because the women, they give. But it's gzeil. It's kipaskin, the halachas stoker, you're not allowed to do that. You can take a small amount of money that you know for sure the husband would be mevatah, but you can't take large sums of money from a woman for that purpose. Part of the concept of achnasas ochim is to have an understanding what's yours is yours and what's not yours is not yours, and even what is yours, what you perceive as yours, may not necessarily be yours. And therefore, Chazal tell us, Sara Imenu, she was generous with guests. But a woman's challenge, part of the challenge that a woman has to have is to know what's hers and what's not hers. And that's the basis of achnasas ochim. So Chazal are picking on this aspect. They don't say Mikan Shesorah Tzorah Baruch. No. Tzorah was very generous with the guests. But the line of what's Sheli and what's not Sheli wasn't clear. And when that line is crossed, it can affect one's Achnas Zoch. Now if you don't have a woman like Tzorah, a generous woman, and a woman doesn't have clarity that what we have is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it could translate in being cheap with guests. Chazal don't say that Sarah was cheap. She wasn't. She was very generous with the guests. They're just saying this meat is a meat that has to be accomplished in order to have achnasas ochim. The aside of achnasas ochim is to go against this ideology, the natural instinct of a person, what's mine is mine. Achnasas ochim says no. Achnasas ochim says, and that's why achnasas ochim is the highest form of tzedakah. Why is achnasas ochim on such a high level? So there's a fascinating Rabbeinu Yitzchak Mikarkushi in Bava Basra. He says a great word. He says, it's challenging for anybody to look in their wallet, to pull your wallet out, and say, you know what? Not everything in this wallet is mine. 10% of it's not mine. 20% of what's in my wallet is not mine. It's a challenge. Not easy. But it's something you can deal with. Something you could train yourself. He says, the closer it gets to you, the harder it is to recognize that. It's like we find by Negoyim, the house, the begodim, the body. He says, your house is your haven. Your house is something everybody goes, it's my house. It's mine. Right? He says, achnosas ochim is a higher level of recognition that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch. It's where you're not just looking in your wallet and saying, you know what, not everything in my wallet is mine. You look at your home. So you know what? I don't like having guests. It's not comfortable. It's not kishmak. It's my home. I need my
my comfort at home. I need my Dalet Amos. I need to know my Dalet Amos is mine. Hachnos HaZochim says, you have no Dalet Amos. There is no Dalet Amos that's yours. L'Hashem HaRetzim Lo. So Hachnos HaZochim is the next level of understanding that everything is L'Hashem HaRetzim Lo. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the level of Hachnos HaZochim. The next level. And that's the challenge. So it goes against our nature. 100% goes against our nature. Avraham Avinu had a natural netiyah tachnas hazochem. He developed a natural netiyah tachnas hazochem. So to him, regular achnas hazochem wasn't even going against his nature. Now, b'shlishi l'milosai, this was his sacrifice for achnas hazochem. For us, opening our door to the public is achnas hazochem. It's a challenge. For Avraham, that wasn't a challenge. The challenge was b'shlishi l'milosai, to open up his door to the public. What's a malach? A malach, the chesaron of a malach, is that a malach doesn't have a challenge. Only we have a challenge. A malach doesn't have a challenge. A malach is a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A malach doesn't have a challenge to think, you know what, I have myself a life. Yeah, Baruch Hashem told me to do something. You know something, I want to take the day off today. I want to go on a trip. The malach doesn't have any of that. The malach doesn't have any challenges of understanding what's his Dalet Amos. He has no Dalet Amos. The Malach, in essence, has no Dalet Amos. When Avraham Avinu went against his nature, and Taka Bishlishi L'Mila, that's the whole idea of Mila, to train yourself to go against your nature. When Avraham went against his nature, now the Malachim became submissive to him. That's why the Malachim came to Avraham Avinu's tent. Because now that Avraham met the challenge of going against his nature, the Malachim had to show we are on a lower level. That's why they came to Avraham's tent. And like the Gemara says, they had to eat there. They had to behave like human. Because they had to lower themselves to Avraham Avinu. Because of this superiority. The superiority of being able to go against one's nature. Which is what was expressed here. For Lot, who was brought up in Avraham Avinu's tent, to bring guests into his home, that's his natural instinct. For that, he didn't get any bonus points. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to save him, he couldn't save him from Stoyim in the merit of Achnos HaZochem. Because that was second nature to Lot. That was part of the cause. That was normal. However, Lot was a tremendous Baal Taiva. He had a tremendous Chemdas Hamama. Chazal teaches us that when Shlomo HaMelech tells us, L'tava Yevakesh Nifrod, that's talking about Lot. That's why Lot picks time. And when you're on a taiva role, you're blind. So his daughter was tortured by them. He still stayed there. L'tava Yevakesh Nifrod. There's no limit. There's no limit what you would do. They have now, they're unveiling the amount of money that Mubarak put aside. It's nish tigloidim. They're trying to make a cheshbon, money that he could have never even used. Actually, they say the richest man is the one that just died in the pipe. Gaddafi, he was Nish Tzegloidim. But Mubarak, I mean, if you want to know the wealth, on his suit, they had a picture of his suit. They showed a picture of his suit. Looks like a regular pinstripe suit. Looks like, it doesn't look like this. Which is what I'm a nice pinstripe suit. Yeah. They blew up the lines on his suit. And the lines, the pinstripes, were made out of Hasni Mubarak, engraved on the lines. The lines, they magnified it so you could see it. Hasni Mubarak, Hasni Mubarak, Hasni. That was the lines. And they went to find out how much he spent for these suits. $25,000 per suit. To have his name that nobody could even see. But he knows when he gets up in the morning and he puts on his suit that it has his name in the lines, that nobody knows. He didn't think that one day they're going to magnify it and they're going to show the whole Welt. It gave him some, I can't connect to that, but this was his L'tava Yevakesh Nifrod. There's no reality in that world. L'tava Yevakesh Nifrod. So that was Lot. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to find a schus to save Lot, he had to find a place where Lot went against his nature. Let's think where Lot went against his nature. Now we go back to Mitzrayim. Pali found out that Avram is Sarah's sister. Avram hated Bavura. Pali gave him shor v'chamor. Tzoy gave him. Avram walked away with a lottery ticket, with a winning lottery ticket from Mitzrayim. Now here you have Lot, who's a desire, who's a Baal Tayin. All he wants is money, and he sees what Avram got. And he could have just pulled out his identity card and said, by the way, Rabbeisai, I'm the real brother. He's the fake brother. I'm the real one. I get the Tzoyin Ubako, Ugmalim, Ushlochis. But he didn't. To him, that was his sacrifice. That's the Eibishter to go back 24 years to find a place where Lot went against his nature. So it had to be a Tivus moment that Lot himself conquered it. And that's the Nisoyan that we have to learn from these parashas. Is that our Nisoyan in life, a lot of times we live a good Yiddish life, but it's those couple of Nisoyanis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us in life that we fail. We have to realize those are the occasions that we have to rise up. Those are the schusim that we have. Maybe it happens once in 24 years, but we fail the test at times. It's that Nisoyan. It's that Orman, the Shnora, that came to your house 10:30 after you had six people already, and you say, Shen, I've had it. And instead of doing that, you bring the person in and you makabel upon him. That's your Nisoyan. That's your, and that's the schus. Lot was only able to cash in the schus when he went against his temple. That's the Ikar schus that was there.